Good evening and welcome to Focus on the Foothills. My name is Angela and my guest today, Jared Belk, Letha Gregory with the Wilkes County Health Department. Guys, thank you so much for being with us on the program. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Now, once again, I think we're seeing an increase in COVID cases here in Wilkes. Is that correct?
We are, yes. We, as of this afternoon, as of about 20 minutes ago, our total active cases in the county is about 401 active cases. So that brings our total confirmed cases up to 7,842. Hospitalizations, I don't want to say it's not exact because the hospitals aren't required to report to us who's in the hospital. So it's really and truly just our team trying to track who's been in the hospital and who's not. Right now, I think the best count that we have is around 9 or 10 cases of people in the hospital, but that could change. Okay, so the number of cases that we've had in the last week, the last 7 days, we've had 314 new cases in the last 7 days.
Wow. Is there a reason that you know of for the recent increase in cases? Because we had slowed way down. Why this jump now?
Well, just to kind of, I think what we're seeing is people have, the vaccines have came out. Those who wanted the vaccine were vaccinated. We've seen a lifting of all of our restrictions. So there's no restriction on the number of people outdoors, indoors. There's no mask restrictions anymore. And people have gotten really comfortable.
Vacation.
Yeah, this is huge time for people to take vacations. And what we're seeing now is we really feel like it's all these restrictions and things being lifted and people have gotten comfortable, and that's where the surge is coming from.
Okay. I'm still hearing a variety of things as far as symptoms. Way back when we first started, it was, if a high fever and a this or a that. And since then, it has evolved and evolved and evolved. Again, the symptoms can range from no symptoms to mild symptoms to just having like a stomach virus to having a headache and fever to having flu-like symptoms, or to having all the above. We're almost 2 years into this. Is there any indication as to why the symptoms are so varied and or why some people are more affected than others?
No, and that's part of what's so frustrating is because the symptoms that people present with can be so varied. We've seen everything from just upset stomachs, diarrhea to headache, migraines to full-on people who are very symptomatic, high fevers, cough, sneezing, congestion, chest tightness. I mean, it's ran the gamut. And then we've had people who have not had any symptoms but have been possibly a household contact or live with somebody who is COVID positive or been identified as a close contact, and they wait their 5 days and come get tested, and lo and behold, they're positive, and they don't have a symptom one. So that's another thing that's really frustrating, especially as people go out into public, is even though you feel okay, you may not have any symptoms. I mean, it's very possible you could have COVID and not know it, or be fine and be out in public, or go visit your family, and then the next day start coming down with symptoms.
Okay, let me give you a couple of things. Several months ago, I was talking with a friend of mine, and he said that, and that was one of those situations where he tested positive. His wife and his son, who lived with him in a small house, they tested and never tested positive. He said he felt kind of bad for 2 or 3 days, and he thought, okay, I'm well. And he went outside to do some yard work, and he said suddenly he felt like he'd been hit by a truck, and had then severe symptoms for about a week. And then just recently, a friend of mine had, like, she said it was more like a minor cold, and she thought, okay, I'm going to be over in a couple of days. And then a week into it, she starts running a fever and has a headache, and today has been admitted to the hospital with pneumonia. So are the symptoms changing or evolving, or is it still just the gamut of things?
It is. It's still just the gamut of things. And unfortunately, what they're seeing is these variants, like this Delta variant, there's been some talk now of a Lambda variant. COVID is essentially changing. I mean, it's like the flu virus. I mean, it does change from year to year, but when we have people in our population who are unvaccinated or don't have that natural immunity, then it allows COVID to make these variants. And so that's how we end up with Delta, and we end up with something like Lambda. And so that's why it affects, the effects can be different, or the symptoms can be different, or how it affects people can be different.
Is there any way, or is there any protocol that we are, have we changed how we treat this? Is there something that people need to do to prevent it getting worse 4 or 5 days into it? Or again, does it depend on what doctor or hospital that you go to?
Our advice to people when they come through and if they test positive, again, first and foremost, isolate yourself, quarantine yourself as best as you can, especially if you have people living in the household with you. Take any sort of over-the-counter medication that you may need to help reduce your fever or to help your aches and pains. Drink plenty of fluids, things, water, and treat your symptoms as they happen. And if you get to the point where you feel like you need to go to the hospital, then by all means, go to the hospital or call 911. But when you call 911, or if you go to the hospital, try to call ahead and say, hey, I'm COVID positive. So that way they'll know.
But there's not a set medication that we can give at this point that would prevent someone from having more severe symptoms once they're diagnosed as being COVID positive.
No, not that we're aware of.
And there again, just another one of those frustrating things that goes along with this. Okay, there is still some concern about the vaccine, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here, and I'm just going to put things out, and y'all can handle it however you feel is best. But I saw on national news, perhaps you saw this, I think it was on NBC National News a couple of weeks ago, there were some nurses from North Carolina that were being interviewed. And these nurses were saying, we're not getting the vaccine. And one nurse said, I'm not anti-vaccine. I've had vaccines. I've given my children vaccine. I just have issues with this vaccine. Another nurse was questioning the science or the facts or what they were calling facts concerning this vaccine. What do people need to know about the vaccine? What evidence, what facts, what scientific information do you have about the vaccine that you can tell people who are on the fence about whether to get it or not?
So I can't really speak to this, and I'm not that familiar, but the type of vaccine that this is, it's an mRNA vaccine. And the science behind those types of vaccines, the way that that type of vaccine is developed, is not anything new. It's something that's been used for many, many, many years. We hear a lot of people who they're hesitant because the vaccine isn't or hasn't gotten fully FDA approved, that it's still under emergency use authorization from the FDA. There's been a lot of talk and hearsay that soon Pfizer will receive the full FDA approval. And I think that approval, once that happens, a lot of people, that will ease their hesitancy. As far as Moderna goes, I've not heard when they'll receive their full approval. The last thing that I had read was that Pfizer was the closest one to receiving that. There's lots of information out there that you can find. I mean, you can really go down the rabbit hole, so to speak, when you're looking for vaccine information.
Yeah, but Jared, for the record, and I've done this, if you go online and you start pulling up articles, every article that you pull up contradicts the article that you just read.
It does. You're absolutely right. I mean, it is. It's very
frustrating.
It is very frustrating. And so I would encourage people to go to the CDC's website. If you don't want to go to the CDC's website, I would go to the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services website. It's ncdhhs.gov. And they have a whole section dedicated to COVID-19 vaccines, all three vaccines, information there. Any questions that might be answered, if they're safe, you still got questions about them, research behind it, a lot of good information.
Okay, what about, because there's been some talk or things that I've read, things on social media about that those who get the vaccine could be spreading the virus. What do you say to that?
Okay, so we have had, just like other communities across the nation, we have had what's called a breakthrough case. And those are people who are fully vaccinated, which means they've had either their two-shot regimen whether it be Pfizer or Moderna, or they've had the one-shot regimen from Johnson & Johnson, and it's been a full 2 weeks after that shot. So with these breakthrough cases, people who are fully vaccinated, they still can, in some cases, contract or get COVID. And with some of these people, they are symptomatic. They have fever, they have cough, they have sneezing. They have symptoms. So, I mean, it would be a safe assumption to think that if somebody is, whether they're vaccinated and they still contract COVID, if they have symptoms, if they're symptomatic, then they could still spread COVID.
But just having the shot does not mean that you're a spreader of the virus.
No, no. It's like saying that if you had the flu shot, then you could spread the flu.
And there again, I'm going to continue playing devil's advocate. There are those who say, okay, well, it's not mandated, it's not required, they're not pushing so hard to get the flu virus. Why are they pushing so hard to get the flu virus vaccine? Why are they pushing so hard to get the COVID-19 virus vaccine?
I think this is Jared speaking. With flu, we typically it has a season. It's seasonal. It's typically from October to about February, maybe March. We typically peak around mid-January or so, and that's where we have a lot of flu cases, and then it dies off, so to speak, and then we're good for another few months. With COVID, we have been at this for a year and a half. We've had numerous variants, and it just keeps rearing its head. It's like we've not really had a break. We've had peaks. We continue to have peaks. I mean, I don't think that locally we've peaked yet again with this next wave, with this new variant. So that's really part of the push too, is just because it doesn't seem to be slowing down. It's like we take two steps forward and then we'll take four steps back.
Okay, we've heard national leaders say that we need to get the vaccine so that we can get rid of this virus. I have never heard tell of getting rid of a virus. Even if you get everybody vaccinated, isn't there still, you said yourself, it keeps mutating and changing. Isn't there going to continue to be some form of COVID-19 virus?
Yeah, more than likely. See, COVID-19, so the coronaviruses aren't new.
Right.
They've been around for a long time. The 19, you know, actually signifies that it was, this particular strain started in 2019. So, yeah, but the more people that we have vaccinated, the more likely it is that it's probably not going to be eradicated, but the more people who will be immune to it, and it will stop some of these variants from the virus from spreading to people who aren't vaccinated and having a chance to mutate.
I know that they're now talking about a booster, but is COVID-19 something that we're going to continue to need to get a vaccination for every year or two, or is it something going to be like the measles and smallpox or whatever, that you get a virus one, I mean, get a vaccine one time and you're good?
Well, earlier in the week, the CDC did approve a COVID booster for those who are immunocompromised, and this would be their third shot. There's not enough. So right now, the only two vaccines that are approved for a booster shot are Moderna and Pfizer. There's still not enough research around the Johnson & Johnson or the Janssen vaccine as to whether or not they need to offer a booster shot. But if you are immunocompromised, if you qualify underneath that heading or that be immunocompromised, then you would receive your booster shot at least 28 days after your second dose. And if you start looking, people, if you're identified as being immunocompromised, these are people who are receiving active cancer treatments for cancer or for tumors, cancer of the blood. If they received an organ transplant or taking medicine to suppress their immune system, if they received a stem cell transplant within the last 2 years and are taking medicines to suppress their immune system, moderate or severe primary immunodeficiency, if there's advanced or untreated HIV infection. So there's a list, or there's a few things that'll qualify people to get that booster shot. We're going to start offering those boosters tomorrow. So if anybody who falls underneath one of these categories, or if they have a question, they can call, and we'll be taking appointments. I mean, we'll still offer walk-in shots, but this booster shot is for people who are severely immunocompromised.
All right. So you're still doing the first and second dose of the vaccine. But for those who are immunocompromised, they have now said that they can get a booster, and Wilkes County will have that as of tomorrow to give out.
Yes, we will start giving those out tomorrow.
Okay. How about the thing on wearing masks? Because right now with our schools, it's optional. You don't have to. You can. What is the Wilkes County Health Department advising when it comes to masks? Whether it's going to school, going to the grocery store, going to the gas station, going to church? What are you advising people?
So we're advising people to continue to wear their masks, even if you are fully vaccinated. Wear your mask if you're going to be indoors. As far as it doesn't matter if you're at the gas station, if you're at the grocery store, a church. I mean, my family and I, we still wear them when we go out, when we go to church, and we'll continue to do so.
Okay. What about those who have had COVID? Is there any studies on how long they might be, or are they at all immune to, or do they have antibodies in their system? Do we know how long, if they have the antibodies, how long that lasts?
Yeah, so typically we say if you've had COVID, there's a 90-day window where you have those natural antibodies. so you have about 90 days since you've tested positive. And people who are fully vaccinated, or if they're within that 90-day window and they come in contact or have close contact with somebody who is COVID positive, they don't need to quarantine. They don't need to test. At that point, we really recommend that you start wearing a mask and that you do that for a couple of weeks. But at any point after that close contact, if you start to have symptoms, then even if you are fully vaccinated or if you do have those natural antibodies, that you seek a test.
Okay. After that 90-day window, if I know that when we talked last time, you said that those who might have had some reactions to the first and second dose of the vaccine, it seemed like it was more so with those who had already had COVID. Is that still the case, or is it kind of a wash after 90 days? It's just going to affect everybody the same way.
Even if you've had COVID and you still, because you can get your first dose or your second dose, if that's something that you want, after you've had COVID, as soon as you come off of your quarantine. Again, if you've had COVID, then because you've got those natural antibodies and you go for your first shot, then you may have a stronger reaction to that first shot. And the reaction really and truly is just mild symptoms. It would be body aches, maybe a fever, a little bit of fogginess. And it's the same thing if you've not been exposed or not had COVID and you had your first shot and then you go for your second shot, then typically most everybody has reported to us the same thing. They feel they have body aches, they might have a low-grade fever, chills, and then it's like almost like somebody flips a switch. As soon as it starts, then it just somebody flips a switch and they're done.
Are you still having pop-up clinics, vaccine clinics around the county?
We are. So, yeah, we keep a running list of our clinics on our website. We have one coming up this Thursday. We have several coming up this Thursday. We'll have a pop-up clinic at the Episcopal Church from 11:30 to 1:30. We'll be at North Wilkes Middle from 9 to 11:30. We'll be at East Wilkes Middle from 1 to 3:30. On Saturday the 21st, we'll be at Rivers Edge Park from 10 until 1. There's a back-to-school bash, so we'll be there to provide vaccines. We also have, if anybody's coming to Merlefest and they want to get their vaccine, we'll be at Merlefest offering vaccines. We'll be at the Apple Festival all day offering vaccines. And any second dose clinics that we're having, you can still stop by then and get your first dose. And like we said, you can always come to the health department, just walk in and get your vaccine. And if you do that now until the end of the month, if it's your first shot, then you will receive $100 from the state to receive that first shot.
And also someone who drives you there, you can get a $25 gift card. Is that correct?
They sure can.
Okay. So I think we have covered now everything that I wanted to, unless there's something else that you can think of that we need to mention. Again, it's best to call for an appointment, but you do accept walk-ins. You're doing of those at the health department, and they can check the website for some pop-up clinics around the county. And you're going to start doing the third shot for those immunocompromised as of tomorrow.
Right, right. And anytime anybody needs any more information, they can always check our website. If they don't have an online, they can always call the appointment line and get information that way if they want to, or they can call the main number at the health department.
All right. Jared and Letha, thank you so much for being with us on the program. And I will say this, that when I had texted Jared yesterday and I said, I'd really like for us to get together and talk about something else other than COVID-19. And he texted back and said, yeah, maybe we can talk about the weather or something. So after today's weather, Jared, don't ever, ever say that again.
No.
We've had tornado sightings in Wills County and all sorts of interesting things going on today weather-wise. So it has just been an interesting day. All right, Jared and Letha, thank you so much for being with us on the program. We do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, this has been Focus on the Foothills. Coming up, more music on the way.